Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Excuse me. Today's the seventh of 8 weeks working through Paul's letter to the Christian Ephesians. In the first 3 weeks, Paul illustrated the doctrine of the Holy Christian Church, what it means to be saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus alone, and to be adopted and an adopted heir of everything that Jesus won on Calvary's cross. And then in week four, he pivoted to how your life as a Christian is shaped in accordance with this doctrine, so that there's unity within the body of Christ, walking as a child of light, walking in a manner worthy, in a manner appropriate to your calling as a redeemed child of God. Now, in today's text, Paul illustrates how the Lord God intended marriage to be when he instituted it on the sixth day of creation before man's fall into sin. Now, if you're not married, don't worry. The text still applies to you, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But on that day in creation, day number six, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Well, it was very good, except for man was alone. In the book of Genesis, Moses records, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" A helper fit for him. Using the bone of Adam's bone and the flesh of his flesh, God literally built the man a helper, a counterpart, someone to do all those things that the man was unable to do himself. Man and woman, both designed to fit together and complement each other emotionally and physically and spiritually. And in our text in Ephesians, Paul quotes the book of Genesis saying, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." The Lord God created all species to come together and reproduce in some way. Some of them are even monogamous. But only male and female humans did God call to come together and join into one flesh. In the original language, this word translated here as "hold fast" literally means be joined together, glued together. Now, if you've ever done any woodworking, you know that anything that is perfectly glued together, you cannot break it apart. Well, you can break it apart, but you're going to damage both sides. The glue joint is not going to break, and it leaves both parts irreparably damaged. They'll never be the same. And that's why when the Pharisees ask Jesus about divorce, he tells them, "Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery." Marriage is not man's creation. It is God's institution. He made it for the good order in the world. And regardless of how human courts may rule, the Lord God says that marriage is a lifelong commitment, a joining union between one man and one woman. As we say in the preface to the marriage vows at a wedding, it is for the mutual companionship, help, and support in prosperity and adversity. Marriage was ordained so that the man and woman may find delight in one another, and for the procreation of children who are to be brought up in the fear and instruction of the Lord. The Lord God is the author and designer of marriage. No human has the authority to redesign it, refine it, change it into what they wish. They cannot reorder marriage into what man wants it to be. But even still, our culture demands that you and I bow down to the altar of sex outside of marriage, open marriages, plural marriages, LBGTQ, XYZ, alphabet soup kind of sexual arrangements. But God's word proclaims that all who practice these sorts of sexual immorality deserve eternal death and damnation. And unfortunately, many Christians are deceived, and they too indulge in these things, and not only indulging in them, but giving approval to others who do so. It's due to the sinfulness that you and I have inherited from Adam. As we heard in our Old Testament and New Testament lessons, we are like the Pharisees who draw near to God with our mouths, giving him the lip service that we think he wants, while our hearts are far from him. You worship God in vain while giving in to the unholy trinity of the devil, your sinful flesh, and the world. But as we heard in Paul's words a few weeks ago, if you continue living as one who is not baptized and chase after the desires of your flesh, denying God's word indeed, it's an insult to the Holy Spirit, and you risk losing the Holy Spirit in whom you were sealed with in baptism. As we heard Paul say, that is not the way you learned Christ. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So regarding marriage, how do you walk as children of light in marriage? Well, Paul writes, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Oh, that nasty word, submit. It is a lightning rod for trouble because nobody wants to submit. I don't, you don't. Nobody likes submission. We desire to be God. We want to lord our power over the other person. Some would say, well, Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago. It was a different culture. Well, you know, back in Paul's day, most of the marriages were arranged. How do you suppose that submission worked in an arranged marriage? But even so, Paul gives us God's inspired word. And notice the amount of the text that focuses on the woman and how much it focuses on the duties of the man. Paul never says that the wife is required to love her husband, only submit and respect her husband. But he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Well, he bled and died on Calvary's cross to save you and me. He laid down his life. This word here that Paul uses for love is what you've heard before, is agape love. It's not a romantic or an erotic love or a love that I have for donuts and ice cream. Agape love is an active verb. It's love based on a deliberate choice and will. Even when your feelings aren't in it, it is a commitment to that person, laying down one's life for another. The marriage covenant is based on faithfulness, not feelings. For those of you who've been married for a long time, there's probably been times that you really didn't like your spouse, but you still love them. Parents, you understand this kind of love. When your kids are coloring on the walls or tearing up the carpet, you don't like them very much, but you still love them. Love goes beyond our feelings and circumstances. It remains and it abides. For better, for worse, richer, poorer, sickness and health, it stays when you want to leave. It holds on when you want to push it away. And when you remain and love each other, even when that person sins against you and pushes you away, then you catch a glimpse of the love that Christ has for you. The agape love that God has for you in Christ Jesus. Earlier in his letter, St. Paul says, "Be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." Be imitators. Now, husbands, how do you measure up to the text? To be sure, even the most wonderful husband amongst us, the most wonderful husband in the world, is merely a sinful, poor imitation of Christ. Because as an imitator, the husband is always going to fall far short of the glory of God, going to fall far short of the standard that God set for the husband, not only in marriage, but in every aspect of their lives. Likewise, the most wonderful wife, she also is an imitator. Guys, she is going to fall short. So what do you do? Well, Luther would say, by daily contrition and repentance, drown that old Adam and Eve in baptismal waters, drown those sins and desires of the flesh, and arise and be a new creation before God. Both must forgive one another, just as God in Christ forgives you. The husband's imitation is imperfect, but holding fast to Jesus, he reflects the love given him in Christ. And his wife is blessed to see that love reflected, even though it's a dim reflection. But she can see the reflection of the love of Christ in the man whom she married. Sin brought disorder and chaos into God's perfect creation and into every aspect of our humanity. Marriage restores and reorders male and female back to God's perfect order. So although submit always seems to be a naughty word, when Paul says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands," he's not being chauvinistic. It doesn't mean that the woman is inferior or can't pull her own weight. It's not a power thing. The husband is not the boss. In God's created order, the husband is the head. He's not the lord over his wife. She's not his slave. But the two work together. The husband is the head, the wife, the body, married, man and woman. It creates a dance. Marriage is a dance. The head leads, the body follows as they step across the dance floor. The two work together. He leads and she follows. Even though the old Eve, she wants to lead. Well, you know what happens when two people are trying to lead when you're dancing? Well, suddenly there's people stepping on toes, and then before you know it, you fall flat on your face. Just as God the Son submits to the Father, the wife submits to the husband and follows his lead, trusting him so that she too can enjoy the dance. This is what agape love looks like. When the wife follows the lead, the husband gets the glory. When the husband leads properly, the wife gets the glory. That is agape love. And yet for the Christian, the two becoming one flesh, glued together in God's holy estate of marriage, is a much deeper mystery. For those of you who are single or widowed, this is where you come in. This mystery, Paul says, is profound. He says, this mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ in the church. Here, this marriage arrangement is only a type and shadow of Christ and his body, the church. It's the picture of the love of God the Father, who loved his broken creation so much that he sent his Son to put on frail human flesh, live a perfect life in your stead and be nailed to a cross until he bled out and died to pay the wages of your sin, to pay the wages of you loving the sinful things of the world and your flesh. It's the love of God the Son who didn't push back. Oh, Lord, if this cup should be removed, go ahead. But no, not my will, but your will. The Son submitted and followed his Father's lead, going to the cross and suffering like a lamb led to slaughter. He didn't speak up, but he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And that brings us back to our text. Christ is the head. The church is the body. Paul says that he loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy, without blemish. Beautiful baptismal language. Sins washed away, robe white wrapped around you, the righteousness of Christ given you for the sake of Jesus' suffering and death on your behalf. So, married or not, this epistle text is for you. It tells of Christ Jesus and how he has loved and how he continues to love you and all of his bride, the church. He loved you from the cross. He loved you from the font. He continues to love you in his body and blood shed in his holy supper. He loved you to death that he might cleanse you and forgive you and join you to himself and with all believers. And with your faith firmly fixed on Jesus, you have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Be imitators. Walk that Christian walk in loving response to Jesus' sacrificial love. You are enabled to imitate Jesus walking as a child of light, honoring the institution of marriage, husbands and wives, by living the gospel toward one another, just as God calls you to do, and married or not, encouraging others to be faithful in their marriage vows, till death do they part. Encouraging husbands and wives to live as the Lord desires by honoring marriage in everything you think, say, and do. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.